Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, everybody. That was the Clark sisters giving us just a little bit of that name it and claim it. Because in our series, we're talking about the power of your words and watching what you say. So I just thought about that song because I remember how we used to, everybody, after they sung that song, everybody was naming it and claiming it. And so we want to talk a little bit about those types of things in our lesson today as we continue on our relationship series, building a better relationship with God and just learning. We talked ahead of a series on, first we started out with seeking the Lord, and then we talked about hearing God's voice, and then we talked about renewing your mind with the Word of God, and we talked about that, and now we're talking about the power of your words and watching what you say. And this is, I tell you, this is a topic, because it's such a big topic and a broad topic. But it's one that we really have to work on as being the people of God. Some of us have it mastered and some of us don't. And some of us don't even realize sometimes what we are saying or not saying. But it's one thing that we have to do is we have to begin to watch what we say, because our words do have power and they do have life. And so I just want to start off a broadcast with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for it, Lord, today. I praise you and I glorify and I magnify your holy name, for you are worthy to be praised. God, I thank you, Lord, that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. God, I ask you, Lord, to bless us, Lord, as we pull out the seed of the word and begin to throw it out today. And, Lord, that it will fall on good ground, Lord, and those that hear it will be blessed by it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, just to touch each and every one that will listen to this broadcast now, those that will call in, those that will be logging in, and those that will even hear it later. But we ask you, Lord, to bless the word, to find those who need this word today, and that they will find it and they will be blessed by it. They'll be hearers of the word, doers of the word, and they'll hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. So, Lord, we thank you today. We glorify and magnify your holy name. Let your anointing be upon us, Lord, that we may teach in excellence and teach as you would have us to do today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So I just want to talk briefly about, first off, this is our third lesson in this particular part of the series on the power of your words and watching what you say. And we started out the series talking about out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I just want to do a brief recap of that, because what we were saying in that is our speech reveals who our character is. And as we begin to speak out of our heart, then the mouth is speaking what's really in our heart. So we got to make sure that our heart is right with God and that our heart is in the right place when it comes to that. And so we said what we think and what we say are tied together. And Proverbs 21 and 23 said it, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. And remember, every time you open your mouth, your mind walks out and parades up and down the word. So we got to remember that. When we open our mouth and speak, it's our mind that is parading up and down the word. And then in Proverbs 13 and 3, and I'm going to slow myself down because I can go real fast. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. And so within our soul lies our mind, our intellect, our will, and our emotion. And our soul is full of self, and our soul needs to be purified to be fit for God's use. And so 2 Timothy 2 and 21 says it best, says, if a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And so we just have to remember that when we think, and I'm just kind of briefly going over this first lesson, it says, out of the heart the mouth speaks, and our speech reveals what our character is. So we got to be careful of what our heart is, what's in our heart, because we want to make sure that what comes out is the will of God. And I'm going to talk about, it says, the man not only has a living soul, but he is a living soul. The Bible says, and the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the earth, a dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's Genesis 2 and 7. And then it says, we must be careful not to confound that which is truly spiritual and that which is merely soulish or physical. And we have seen that the spirit of man is the sphere of activity where the Holy Spirit operates in regeneration. But just so is the soul the sphere where the activity of Satan operates, making his appeal to the affections and the emotions of man. And so that's kind of where he operates with that. And so then Matthew 12, 34 and 37 says, O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A man out of his good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So we got to understand the seriousness of the consequences of what we say, and we want to make sure that when we say things that we're speaking good and not speaking evil, and that what is in our heart displays our care, shows our character, but then our character is in alignment with God. Our heart is in alignment with God. So those are some of the things we talked about in the very beginning. Let's see. I'm not talking to anything else about that particular topic. And then it says in Proverbs 23 and 7, it says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. So we got to understand that our mouth tells expressions of that the mind thinks, so feels and wants. So the mind is telling us what we think, but not necessarily what God thinks. So that's what God thinks would be our renewed mind. It wouldn't be what our mind thinks, but it's that renewed mind that we talked about earlier on in the year, earlier in the summer. And so we got to remember that. And I just want people to really get that thought in their head that whatever is in your heart and it comes out, you know, we got to be careful what is in our heart, and so that we can make sure that we are in alignment with God. And Jesus was our best example of relinquishing his will to God's will. And so, you know, when he got ready to go to the cross, he asked God to take it from him, but then he relinquished and he said, well, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So we have to understand that we have to want the will of God and not our will to be done. Sometimes we think that what God is saying is our will, but it's not necessary. I mean, it's his will. What we're doing and saying is his will, but it may not necessarily be. So we have to be mindful of that when we're when we are saying things. And that's why I played that song a little earlier, Name It and Claim It, because so many times we were naming and claiming things, but those things we were naming and claiming was not necessarily the will of God for our life. It was something that we wanted or we desired, but it may not have been what God wanted or what God wanted us to have, and was it really in the will of God. So we have to make sure that when we are praying and asking God for things, that those things are within the will of God. And so, because sometimes we wonder why we was naming and claiming and wasn't getting it, because we really wasn't in the right mindset or had to, or was speaking the right thing in order to get what we were naming and claiming. Because the Bible does clearly say, if you ask, believe that ye shall receive and ye shall have it. But we have to be within the will of God, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And I just wanted to kind of go over what our second lesson was, and then we'll dive right into what we're talking about today. And then the next thing, the next week, we had begun to talk about the creative power of our words, and how does that affect things with that creative power. And of course, we talked about it from God, because when we looked and when we thought about the creative power, we have to go to the fact that that's how the world began. The world, God spoke and things came about, and it talks about the power of our words and how powerful the words are, and it's how our words are, and even how God is. So when we think about that and we think about the strength of the word, the power of words is how the world began. God spoke and he said, manifested in the natural realm. So we have to remember that. And in Genesis, the first chapter of Genesis, look in verse 3 and verse 6 and verse 9 and verse 11, verse 14, verse 20, verse 24, verse 26, verse 29, all of them begin with, and God said, let. And God said, let there be. And God said, let there be. And God said, let there be. And every time God said, and let there be, it manifested in the earth realm. And so we have to understand that power of the word. And he said, God said, let us make man. Even with man, he said, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness. And so he spoke the things into existence, and things began to show up. He said the star, he spoke the stars, the stars showed up. And if he spoke to the sun showed up. And what was such a blessing about all of those things that God said, and let there be, and it became, when it came on the scene, it came on and it did exactly what God said for it to do. The sun came on shining by day, and it never done anything different. And the moon was in the nighttime, and the stars was in the nighttime. They did it. They were obedient to what the word said. So when God spoke to them, they obeyed, and they did what God wanted them to do. They're just up there doing, still today, doing what God spoke into existence. And so we have to remember that creative power, and that we also have a creative power, too. If we think about what we say and what we do, sometimes if you think about things that you've spoken over your life for years, and, you know, maybe whether they be negative or positive, and those things you seem like you sometimes you ask yourself, why is this and why can't I get out of this and why won't this, you know, why, Lord? Well, some of that you're speaking. And that's why the Bible tells us to be careful, because it says power and life. The life and death is in the power of the tongue. We got to make sure that we're speaking life to our situation and not death to our situation. So these are some of the things that we have talked about in the first two lessons. And so we're going to go on and start talking about, let me see if there's anything else I want to say about that particular lesson, because we're led it into some other things. And we talked about the power that is the word. And so, and we talked about that, and we would read Hebrews 4 and 12, and it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword piercing, even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And then so the word of God is not simply a collection of words from God, but a vehicle for communicating ideas. It is living, life-changing, and dynamic as it works in us. And with the incisiveness of a surgeon's knife, God's word reveals who we are, what we are, and what we are not. That's what it does. It penetrates the core of our moral and spiritual life, and it discerns that what is within us, both good and evil. So that's why we got to check what's coming out of our mouth. Because if you don't want people to know how evil you are, you better not say nothing sometimes, because some of the stuff that we come out of our mouth with really shows that we still got some surrendering that we need to do to God in order to be all that God wants us to be and be in the place that God wants us to be. We got to really wash this mouth out and get it purified, and the only way to do that is through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit, so we have to understand that. And so the demands of God's Word requires decision, that we must not only listen to the Word, but we must also let it shape our lives. And that's what the Word of God is. And it's amazing that when you think about the Word of God and how long ago the Bible was really written, but even now today, it still speaks of things to come. We haven't even began to see all that's going to happen in the book of Revelation, because those are things to come, even though we're seeing signs of things right now. But we have not actually entered into that part of where God is going to take us into. So we still have all these things. So the Word of God is so important for our lives. And if we would renew our mind, then we can renew our heart, and then we can renew this mouth. We could get our mouth in alignment with what God has. I think about that, how that, I think when I think about it, and we're going to Luke, the fourth chapter is where we're going to go. In the fourth chapter, Luke, and it talks about Jesus and how what he did with the Word of God when the enemy attacked him. And I think so many times we take ourselves through a whole lot of undue stress and worry and all of that because we don't really use what we already have in place. The Bible, I just read in Hebrews 4:12, it says the power that is in the Word. It says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow. And it is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And then even in the sixth chapter of Ephesians where it talks about, it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit, which is the Word of God. So the sword of the spirit, which is the Word of God, is the only weapon of offense in the list of armor that God gave us. He said there are times when we need to take the offensive against Satan when we are tempted and need to trust in the Word of God. So God gave us the Word of God as our offensive weapon. And so that's what Jesus used when he was in the wilderness. And I think sometimes we take ourselves through so much stress and worry about the cares of life. And when God said himself, he said, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for us. But we might cast it. We say, Lord, I'm giving this over to you. Then the next thing you know, we're still worried about it. We're still trying to figure out how we can work it out. And we spend a lot of our time worrying about how we can figure it out. I gave an analogy a couple of weeks ago when I was ministering at the hospital of how, you know, I'm trying to balance my budget, and my budget is not coming into balance. And I kept telling them how I kept taking that calculator and calculating and trying to move things around, seeing what I could eliminate off of here and then keep going. And I kept doing that and kept doing that and kept doing that, and it still wouldn't come into balance. And so there's only so much stuff you can take off. You can't take off gasoline if you got a car because you need to drive. You can't take off food because you need food for fuel for your body. So there's so many things that we have. We can't take off light because we need electric in our home. And so some of the things we can eliminate out of our budget, but then when the budget don't work, what do you do? And then you're trying to get extra income coming in, and it doesn't, and that seems not to become. You got to trust in God. And you got to speak to the thing. Jesus said over, and let me read this verse before I even go to that, something that Jesus said, and then I'll talk about, no, let me go to finish my thought about how we use the Word of God, how God gave the Word of God to us for a weapon of offense, and how we have to use that against the enemy. If we would get it and be consistent at it, and just no matter what it looks like, just keep being consistent at using that Word of God against the enemy. Don't you know that we would begin to see the manifestation of our promises of what we say coming to the earth realm, because God is going to honor his word. He said, "I will. My word will not return unto me void." Now, if we are in the will of God and we are giving the word of God, putting the word of God on our situation, it's just like somebody wants to be healed. They have to continue to say, "By his stripes I'm healed." Well, the Lord, he is my healer. He is my healer. Our confession will bring about our results in the earth realm. If we continue to confess what the word of God says against the situation or the conflict that we are dealing with in the natural realm, if we put that on it, then it has to flee. Because he said, the Bible says, even at the name of Jesus, that the devil, that the enemies will flee. And so at the word of God, he said his word will not return unto him void. We have to get this so that we can be able to fight the enemy and not be worried about what the enemy's doing, not be depressed about what the enemy's doing, but give him the word of God. Give him the word of God. Hallelujah. Give him that word so that he will back up. He has to back up and flee. If we resist his tactics and the way he wants us to believe God, when the enemy comes up and tells, "Well, why did God do this to you?" That is a voice of the accuser. That is not the will of God. We got to combat him with the word. And so that's just what Jesus did. That leads me right into this particular scripture. And that's Luke, the 4th chapter, starting at the first verse. And it says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended and afterward hunger. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him." Now, let me go back to that. It said, "And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." That right there, the word as a weapon. That's our weapon. That's what we have to use in the earth realm to fight the enemy, is the word of God. Bible tells us that the devil knows the word and he fears and trembles at it. So if he fears and trembles at the word of God, if we keep giving him the word of God against our situation that we're going through, then we are going to come out a winner, because God will honor his word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That ought to make somebody just shout right there. Hey, shout out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you today. Hallelujah. We got a powerful weapon that we can use against the enemy. If we would just do it and stop being, do it for a day or so, a couple of weeks or so, and then we get weary because we don't see no sign of it. And I was remembering an analogy that someone had given about this. They said a rock cutter, he kept hitting a rock because he's trying to break this rock. And so he kept hitting it and kept hitting it, and the rock showed no sign of breaking up. But he hit it. He had hit it 99 times. 99 times he had struck that rock, and that rock was still looking like it was standing strong. But on that 100th time, when he hit that rock split in half. We got to keep hitting our situation with the word of God till we see the results of the blessings and the results and the promises of God come into our life. We don't have time to keep fooling with this stuff, taking ourselves through a bunch of unnecessary stress, gaining weight, losing weight. Some people don't eat. Some people eat. We go through too much emotional stuff. If we would just take heed to what God's word says and begin to do it just like God said, do it. He said, every man. I'm going to read it one more time. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. We've got to get that in our spirit and stop living in fear against what the enemy's doing. All he's doing is making suggestions. He don't have the final word on your life. God does. Put the word of God on it. Anybody have anything they want to say about that? And then, so the scripture in Luke 4 just continued to say, talk about, it continued to talk about how the enemy just kept coming at the coming at Jesus, and Jesus just kept giving him the word of God. He didn't excite himself with it. He didn't get stressed out about it. He didn't probably didn't raise his voice about it. He just probably gave it to him straight. And he had to keep backing down every time. And then after he kept giving him the word, finally he left him alone. He said, "Well, I ain't breaking this nut right. I, you know, he ain't getting ready. He ain't getting ready to be in Budge about. So let me let him go. I got to move on to something else. I get some of these other people." But we have got to become like Jesus. He was our example of how we're supposed to live. And so I just wanted that. That was something I don't know. That just kind of got in my spirit about that, because I tell you, I'm tired of worrying and stressing and going through all this drama for what? When I got the best weapon in the world, the word of God. Use that. I told myself, just keep speaking the word over it. Then you can get some deliverance about some of this stuff. Lord, we thank you today. Glory to God. Let me see, get my train of thought. I got too excited. Let me see, get my train of thought back together. And so now we want to talk about we're talking about the power of our words still. We kind of did a recap over the first 2 weeks, and now we're back to talking about this. And I was telling us about how the word of God was our weapon, and how even in the Ephesians 6, how God began to use it as told us that it is our only weapon of offense. We might have a helmet on. We might have the shield of faith on, but that weapon is the thing that we can cut with. We can use it. To do just that. And so we have to think about it from that situation and begin to use what God has given us to use so that we can win. We're supposed to be victorious, not losing, but victorious in God, because we are walking according to his will and to his way, and we are using our mouth as speaking God's language and not speaking the language of the world or what the enemy would have us to speak, but we're speaking the language of God. And the language of God is, of course, the word of God and the will of God. And if we do that, we will see ourselves as winners. Because even Jesus over in Mark 11, 22 and 23, let me get that, he told us, he said something in there. And I think sometimes we get excited about it. We say, speak to the mountain and that it be removed. But I think we got to understand when he's really saying that to us, what Jesus was really saying. And so that's Matthew, Mark 11, 22 and 23. And I might still be in a recap because I'm feeling like I already said this on the last week, but I'm going to keep going because this is the way direction the Lord has given me. And he said, this is Jesus in 11, 23, and did I say 22 and 23? 22 and 23. And it says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you and give you your trespasses." Now, let's talk about that a minute, because I know it's a whole bunch of people praying, they naming and claiming, they doing everything, but yet they can't stand their sister. They can't stand. I mean, and some of this is people right in your family. They don't like their own sister, their own brother, don't like their uncle over here, their cousin over here. They got problems with this. They jealous hearted of people in the church. And I can't hardly get a hold of why this jealousy thing is such a big thing. I'm touching it and I'm getting off of it. But these are some of the things that might be hindering your prayers. Because you see your sister or brother doing what God has told them to do. God done told you to do some stuff too. It might not be the same thing. And some things may, you people glamorize so much anymore. They glamorize everything. Ain't nothing glamorous about none of it. When you're doing the will of God, you are doing what God has told you to do. It ain't about no glamour shots or nothing. It ain't about all that. This is just what God gifted each and every one of us for his glory. Our gifts are to use for his glory and for his purpose here on the earth. So why are we upset about somebody else's giftings and purpose because they decided to go and do it and use them? I have no idea. Use what God gave you. My mother used to tell us, you don't have time to be jealous of nobody. If you want something, work hard enough, you can get it. That's what she used to tell us. She says, so that'll keep you from being jealous of anybody. Same thing with your gift. He gave you some, too. Ask him what, if you don't know what they are, begin to pray. Ask God what they are. And what you know what you're passionate about, begin to do it. Stop being in fear. Don't be upset with somebody else because they've decided to operate outside of fear. They're doing it afraid and going on doing what the Lord told them to do. And so we can't be doing that. And so anyway, I'll go back to my, I'm talking about speaking to me, I don't know how I got over there. But anyway, when Jesus told me, he said, because I was talking about asking for forgiveness according to things. So sometimes we want God to do something for us, but we ain't even right with God. We want God to forgive us for stuff, but we won't forgive others. You have got to get to a place. That's why he said, before you go, before you pray, if you got all to give somebody, go make peace with your brother or your sister first. Then come to me and pray. Because before that, I'm not giving it to you. So if you want to know why you have not got what you prayed for, check your forgiveness status. And if you still running around here, got something against somebody, then you're not going to get nothing. I'm telling you what you're not going to get because that's what the word says. We're going to believe what God says in his word. So go check your forgiveness status. And if you got all that right, and if your brother and your sister, you still running around, and your brother and sister, you got to forgive people. They don't need hold nobody hostage about nothing. Forgive them and move on because it ain't doing you no good being sitting over in unforgiveness. Anybody have anything they want to say about that? So that's I was reading that. I was reading over in Luke 11:22-24 because we were talking about, and so I talked about that, I think, in the last week where I talked about it. I'm remembering it now. I talked about God is wanting us to speak to the mountain and not about the mountain. And so many times we are speaking about what's going on in our life and not to the thing that's going on in our life. If Jesus is saying that have faith in God and speak to the mountain and it shall be removed, it shall be cast into the sea, then we need to have faith in God and begin to speak to our circumstances and watch the word of God begin to manifest on our circumstances. That's really what, I mean, I've thought about myself when I think about all this and all the stress and pressure and frustration that I put myself through because I allowed the enemy to magnify what I was going through so much that I was saying I believed God, but then I would go back and forth, and I would begin to see confusion. Whenever you begin to see confusion operating in your life, that is not the will of God. It is the enemy, period. If you're going back and forth, well, I don't know if God wants it. First of all, he said he will supply our needs. If you need a roof over your head, then that's a need. Because we got to think about when the Bible times were coming along, maybe they needed a tent. Maybe they needed some donkeys. Maybe they needed some camels. But we can't run down, we can't ride down, we can't go down the street with no camels and get on the highway because that ain't going to work out. Camel can't go 85 miles an hour, so you need a vehicle going fast enough to be able to deal with all the fast traffic drivers. The people driving fast. So we got to understand that. So we got to understand when God knows what we have need of, you need a roof over your head, then you need a roof over your head. He said he will supply our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's over in Philippians. And so I think that we stress ourselves out so much, and then we begin to listen to other people saying things to us. Like somebody said to me one time, well, Denise, I think the Lord is saying just get rid of this. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Okay, I'm getting rid of it, but where am I going? So that's why we have to understand. We have to operate in what God is saying to us. I'm not saying sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, mama so-and-so, pastor so-and-so, can't give you a word from the Lord. That's not what I'm saying. But when they give you a word from the Lord, God is going to already be, he's going to already have spoken to you about it. It will align itself together, and it will confirm. It won't be new news to you. So remember that. So be careful what people say to you, too, that might end up taking you down a whole different thought pattern about things. Get into what God is saying. Look at what his word, our answers are right there. They're right there in the word of God. And so then we can begin to think and say what God is saying and not what other people are saying to us. There are experts in things. Sometimes we have to go to the expert that might be an expert in, you know, in certain things. Maybe you got somebody, if you want to go get your car fixed, you know, then go to the car shop and get your car fixed. You know, we won't say, Lord. You know, sometimes we spiritualize everything, and some things it's not supposed to be that way. Some of the simple things. He ain't going to tell you, well, go pick out a red car. I don't believe God got time to do all that. But anyway, the people believe that, and so it is what it is. But I believe if you need a car, then go get you a car. Whatever color you pick out, he going to bless, because he know you have a need. Anybody have anything to say about that?
Powerful word.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I was getting so excited because I just that hit me today when it talked about that word and just speaking that word and how Jesus used that word as his weapon and how God has given us those two scriptures, one in Hebrews and one in Ephesians, how that is what God gives us for that offense. And we worry ourselves so much about things. And I said, Lord, help me to use what you've given me to use to get through life. It's all in there, and it's all done. And if we just would grasp hold of it and stop letting the enemy speak to our ear, another person often gives this example, that cartoon where the little devil was on one side speaking and the angel was on the other side speaking, and, you know, both of them speaking at the same time. And I can imagine if you would really, that sometimes we feel like that. We feel like this is God, we feel like something else is speaking, and we're getting confused. But like I said before, if it is confusion, it is not the Lord. Because he said,
you know,
he's not the author. Yes.
When you was talking,
yes,
it is powerful. I'm enjoying this. I was just thinking when you was talking about Jesus using the word, because Jesus knew who he was.
Yeah.
He knew who he was, and he knew why he was, and he knew what he had to do. Many times the enemy comes to us and we get confused because we get off track and we get out of sight and we forget who we are and whose we are. We have to remember our identity. We identify with Christ, and so we can speak the word. Jesus could speak the word because he was the word, but he identified with God. And as long as we stay identified with God, when the enemy comes, we got a word for him. He put something in our ear, but we got a word. Because when things happen in our lives and you know, challenges, houses, jobs, whatever, we get, you know, our flesh want to act up because we get a little worried. But we got a word to say that God has not given us the spirit of fear. So we have to speak back to that instantly, because when you let it linger and let it play, then that's when the enemy starts playing in our minds. We got to resist the devil instantly, and he will flee. But if we give him any kind of ground, he'll start playing with our mind. But when we know who we are and our circumstances doesn't match up to what we are speaking with our mouths through faith or by faith, we got to keep saying, as you just said, keep saying it, keep believing it till our faith gets where it is, because if God said it, we know that settles it. And if we have that kind of belief that we don't know how it's going to work out, we're going to be just like Job. He said that he gave it, he take it away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And if we stay faithful, just like he gave Job double for his trouble, he can do the same thing for us.
Ooh, glory to God. That is so important what you just said. We got to understand who we are, because that's how that you're so right. Jesus knew who he was. And if we identify with him, then we know who we are. That's our Father we're talking to. When we talk to him, and he said, a father ain't going to give you no bad gift. He ain't evil. That's awesome. What she said, we got to know who we are. So then we can speak that word and speak it in confidence. And we don't have to be weary when we speak it. We got to just, and I'm not saying this something going to change for you overnight. It could, because God can do anything. But you got to work at it. Just keep working at it. Every time them thoughts come to your mind and your mouth begin to agree with that thought, then don't say, and watch who you agree with. You know, people say stuff, girl, you know, the so-and-so and the so-and-so. And before we know it, we done shook our head yes to it. Stop doing that. Why? Listen, we got to start listening to what people are saying. and do not agree with stuff that is not what you're trying to, the direction you're trying to go. We got to watch it. It's going to take some effort, but we got to get it done because we want to be operating in the will of God and in the victory that God has already gained for our life. We got so much that we run, sometimes we're running behind because we've been, like Elder Timberlake just said, we letting the enemy speak into our ear and we getting weary and all these things are going on. We got to keep our focus. Keep our focus. We got to learn how to speak God's language is what we have to do. And if we learn and get that, because I even start thinking about when God was speaking to him, he spoke and he said, let there be, and it was. And I start thinking about when Jesus was going around healing. It wasn't that much. Jesus didn't lay his hands on nobody. Jesus told, he would tell, he said, he asked the blind man, he said, do you believe I can do this? And they said, yeah. He said, so it was done according to their faith. He didn't really lay hands on them. He spoke to it. When the centurion, he spoke. He said, you ain't even got to go to my house. Just speak a word. Jesus spoke the word and the healing took place. When the Syrophoenician woman came, and even though he called her a doll, but anyway, her face, she just kept on going. She's her face, and so Jesus spoke, and the daughter was healed. So if Jesus was speaking, and things were getting done, and he told us greater work shall we do, we got to line up. We got to line ourselves up so that we can be in the right frame of, in the right place and being used by God. And so each time when we speak the word to our mountain, we are walking into a place of victory. And I talked about, I think, in the last lesson that even how when Abraham and Sarah, we were talking about calling those things that be not as though they were. And I talked about even how God changed their name and what their names began to mean was what God had spoken for their life. So every time somebody called Abraham's name, they were calling him the father of many nations. And every time they called Sarah's name, they were calling her the mother of many. You know, they were calling them what that God had spoken, the promises over their lives. And that's even something else, too. We got to be careful. These babies, I get tickled about this in school. Some of them, we don't know how to, the teachers don't even know how to pronounce the name. Sometimes the children don't even know how to pronounce it. We give them all these little names and we think they're cute, but what do they really mean? And what have you put on your child's life? So we got to be careful about some of those things, even that. But anyway, I want to get back to my lesson and see what my time is, and I don't want to go over. It's such a big topic, but when we learn to speak the language of God, we can really begin to see the move of God in our life. And so we got to think about, you know, I know some kids, some people are still on or mere infants when it comes into the place of being a part of God. And you may not know what to say. You may not know what to say. I always tell people when I go over to the hospital, maybe you don't know a scripture to speak over your life. But I'm going to tell you a word that guarantees the answer, and that's Jesus. If you can't do nothing but call Jesus, then call on Jesus and let him do the work for you on your behalf because that's all you know. And we got to remember that he's available to us. Does anybody else have anything they want to say? But I wanted to make sure I talked about that forgiveness piece and being in obedience. We can't expect God to move in our lives if we are operating in disobedience. So we can name it and we can claim it, but if we are operating in disobedience, we're going to still be just naming and claiming. We're not going to see the results. We have God. This is all of this is about being in alignment with God. Now, I think God does have mercy. I mean, he does have mercy. I don't think he has it. He does have mercy, and sometimes he lets mercy operate in our situations. He will let mercy operate because he knows the future, and he knows where he wants to use us, and so he allows mercy in our lives, and so we're not consumed, even though we might not be in the right place, but we're not consumed. But we got to understand that we do need to align ourselves with what in obedience so that we can really begin to see the move of God in our life. The Bible says, I think it's in Isaiah 1:9 where it says, or 1:19 where it says, if ye be willing and obedient, he said, ye will eat the good of the land. So we got to remember that all of these things come into place. And I know I'm talking about, seem like I'm talking about different things, but all of it comes into place when we're talking about speaking and praying and wanting to believe what we receive. We have to be in alignment with the will of God. So we got to learn how to speak God's language. I want to read this particular verse, and it's Hebrews 5:13-14. I think this is, I'm reading it in the Amplified Version. It says, for everyone who continues to feed on milk. Wait a minute, is that my scripture? I want to go up here first because I want to talk about babes coming into Christ and being able to speak and things like that. But it says in 1 Corinthians 3:1 is where I want to go first. It says, however, brethren, I could not talk to you as a spiritual man, but as a non-spiritual man of the flesh, in whom the carnal nature predominates, as the mere infants in the new life in Christ, unable to talk yet. So sometimes as you come into the Lord and you're starting out, you might not really know everything there is to know, and everything you don't know can't really, sometimes may not even be able to defend yourself. And that's why I was telling you, if you can't call on nothing else, call on Jesus. He's your defense. He'll defend you. Jesus will stand up on your behalf, just like he did when they were stoning Stephen, and the Bible says he stood up. That's the only time we see him recorded stood up, but he stood up. And so he will work on your behalf if we let him, if we allow him to do that in our lives. Does anybody have anything else they want to say? I'm going to find my other portion. I think I got off over there. But I want to talk about also the effects of our words in the natural realm. And so I thought about Romans 10:9-10. I want to talk about this for just a minute, because it says if you acknowledge, let me get this in the King James Version. You know, I'm such a King James kid. I said sometimes I can't these other translations, I get a little thrown off about them. But anyway, I'm such a King James person. So sometimes I don't hear it in that version, I get a little off about it. But anyway, let me read it in that particular version, the 10th chapter and the 9th and the 10th verse. And I want to talk about this because this is, once again, we're speaking something, and it's talking about something. When we speak this, it's talking about confession. Even for salvation, we have to confess. We have to confess, and we got to speak it out of our mouth. It ain't nothing we can just do in our mind. We got to speak it out of our mouth. And it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And so when I thought about that, I thought about it, for with the heart the person believes, adheres to, and trusts in, and then relies on Christ. And this is in a different version. And says, let me go back up to the top because it reads a little different, but it gives some strong explanation to me. It says, if you acknowledge the knowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart believe, adhere to, trust in, and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, adheres to, trusts in, and relies on Christ, and so is justified, declared righteous, acceptable to God. And with the mouth he confesses, declares openly, and speaks out freely his faith, and confirms this salvation. That's Romans 9:10 in the Amplified Version. And so when I thought about that, I thought about confession confirms the believer's position before the enemy of his soul. And when we do that, it declares a change of allegiance is what it's doing. And so he might have been previously serving the devil, but he just served the devil. Notice when he made that confession that he is no longer in your camp, that I have moved over on the Lord's side. That's what confession does for your salvation. So when you confess it out of your mouth, you are telling the enemy, I'm no longer a part of you, but now I'm a part of God. And so that's why it's important that when we speak things out of our mouth, we speak the right thing. Because when we speak those things and they're in alignment with God, we're telling the devil, I'm not believing nothing you say, but I am telling you what the word of God says concerning my life, and this is what I believe. Anybody got anything they want to say about that? I got excited about that, too. That excited me when I was thinking about that. And so I said, because when I confess it out of my mouth, So when the enemy, when the doctor said, when the doctor comes and tells somebody, oh, you got this, and that's why I'm very careful when I say, even if I'm discussing something with somebody about something, maybe it's something that's come up, I say, well, the doctor said, I ain't saying I said nothing. The doctor said so-and-so. But I believe the report of the Lord. I believe by his stripes that I am healed, that I am delivered and I am set free. We have to begin to combat what they say. I know sometimes, I remember one time they told me I had a tumor bigger basketball, and they said it was 98% saying it was cancer, it was going to be cancer. I just started rebuking him right there. I said, the devil, I don't receive, say the Lord rebuking the name of Jesus. Jesus, I do not receive that in Jesus' name. You got to start rebuking it right then. Don't wait till you go home, cry, scream about it. Just start rebuking it right then. And believe what God says about it. That's what I say. Because sometimes you can't play with. You got to get it right then. You got to cut it right then. Anybody have anything they want to say about that? That's what the Word of God is. He said it's sharper and powerful than in two-edged sword. So begin to cut when the stuff is coming. When they come bring the stuff up, just start slicing it right then with the Word of God. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I believe that confession is so deep that it is rooted. I call it a matter of the heart.
Yeah.
Confession is a matter of the heart because it's so deep. It's not what you're saying you're confessing to, and it goes a little deeper than just saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible speaks concerning the soul. Confession is good for the soul. So
yeah.
If it's good for the soul, it's something that's cleansing.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that is, I don't know how to say it. I guess it's deeper than just a surface word. It goes deeper than that. It's what you're feeling, what you're moved by. Amen?
And Sister Elder Bryson, well, to piggyback on what Elder Dotson was saying, in this, in the ninth verse, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and that's good, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Confession is good, but somewhere down in there, we have got to learn how to believe God. Confess it and get that thing down in your heart. And then, you know, then you'll see a greater manifestation of God. It's got to be some confession and some belief of why you're speaking that word. You said the doctor told you it was 98% chance that it was cancer, and you confessed and rebuked the devil, and you knew what God said, and you believed God. And everything turned out all right with that. But you have to have belief, too.
You confess it, and then you repeat, so it will get in your heart. You got to repeat it. You can't just say it once. Say it more than once. Because then it starts getting into your heart.
In your spirit, yeah.
And in your spirit. And then it digs in deep. Then it's rooted. And when it's rooted, it moves the hand of God.
Yeah. Because we got to understand that God knows the intent of the heart. And so that's what God is looking for. God is, okay, you confessed it, but your confession unto salvation is before men. But the heart matter is before God.
What, you know what God said? I was just reading, and your lips, you serve me with your lips, but your heart is far from me.
Yes.
God's not pleased with that either. Got to have a heart.
You got to have a heart. Your heart got to be in the right place. And that's why when we said in the first lesson when we talked about, we said out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we got to understand what's in our heart when we speak out those things that are really not of God, and that because we're showing our character, we know our heart is not right. And that's why one thing, I mean, you know, we think about David. David would always say, he would always talk about his heart being right with God. And that's something I prayed for. I said, Lord, let my heart be right with you. That's what I want to be right with God, because that's what God is looking at. He said, man look on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So I want my heart to be right with God. We got it. I don't want people to be overwhelmed by what we're saying, because this takes practice. And it takes us continually staying in the Word of God, believing what the Word of God says, and knowing what the Word of God says. So it's a process. Salvation is progressive. And so as you continue with God, you get better at things, and you get stronger in Him, and then it comes to pass. I don't want nobody just go with the Lord, I can't do it. I can't be your child. No, it takes practice. Cause I've been in church since I was a little big girl, and we still struggling with stuff today. So it takes practice, but it takes us bringing our mindset, our renewed mind. And that's how we get transformed, and that's how we get that renewed mind, that then we can get our heart gets right and we can begin to speak the right thing. So it takes practice, and it takes us just continuing to, and I don't want you to be overwhelmed by that either, but I want you to just begin to read the Word of God. And like I said, I think I said in another part, we were talking about speaking those things that are not as though they were. Get you a confession list. Put you something together. Look and study. Get in there with the Word of God. You can look it up online now. You ain't got to really do a whole bunch of stuff out there. If you go online and type in scriptures concerning this or concerning love, Lord, I need more love. I want more hope. They give you a line of give you a hope. Give you all the scriptures that say that, and then you can begin to read those particular scriptures and begin to confess things over your life. Confess the right things over your life. And so these things, it's so much available to you. You have access to a lot of things now. And so you don't have to be overwhelmed, but you do have to get it done. That's what I want to say. We got to begin to speak what God is saying. Go ahead.
Can I say what the world will tell you when you take classes and they will teach you about critical thinking, about how you to pick things apart and think. And if they're teaching you that on a natural level, it's nothing wrong with us to really think, and I appreciate you. Thank you so much for telling us tonight to make an effort and think about what we have to do. Like you said, don't get overwhelmed, and it's not going to happen overnight, but we could take it every day, one day at a time. I appreciate you saying, you know, you got to even watch what people say, and they say, you know, because I've been guilty, and they saying crazy stuff, and you look at you shaking your head, yes, and that's wrong. You know, you have to be careful and make a conscious effort, and like Elder Timberlake said, realize who you are and whose you are, and bring all that into together, and, you know, and just walk this thing out.
Yes, and that's really what we got to do. I'm so thankful for these lessons. I've been so excited in my study of these lessons and just the stuff that I'm learning from. I'm getting so excited. And I'm trying to make a conscious effort to make changes because my mouth ain't running. My mouth is one that got to be in check. I got to keep it in check. Understand me. So when I say these things, I'm telling you about what's something I have to do for myself is get things in check. And we ain't even begin to talk about that tongue. You know, that's gonna come up, and we'll probably all have to talk about all of that because this is a big topic. But we're gonna talk about it until the Lord tells us to stop talking about it because it's something I really feel. Like that, we really have to get in our spirit because it will change. It will change our life if we get it. If we finally get it, I believe it'll make such a drastic change in our life and the way we think about things, and the way we speak about things, and the way we live. Period. And how we even trust God even more because of these changes that we'll make. It'll be such a blessing to us. And I'm going to ask Elder Dodson, if he will offer our invitation to Christ, and I'm going to ask Elder Timberlake if she will pray us out, and then we'll be back here next week on the Prosperous Souls broadcast, and we're going to talk about, prophesying over your life, and then we're going to start talking about the tongue and those things. We're not talking about that next week. We're going to talk about, we're going to talk about complaining and murmuring, and then we're going to talk about praise and worship, and how we are to combat that complaining and that murmuring with praise and worship and speaking. So we're going to talk about that and how that complaining disconnects us from God. And so how we're going to have to watch that and be careful how we do that. All right. Amen.
Bless the Lord. For those that feel they're not where they should be with God, let us repent right now. God, I'm so sorry for not being where I should be. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would show me where I am to be. Please, Lord, move upon my heart. remove everything that is not like you. For those that are out of the ark of safety, pray this prayer. Lord, I'm sorry for what I've been. I'm ready to change. I know that you have died for my sin and that you went to glory and the Father raised you from the dead in your resurrected form, O God, and you stripped me from my sins and gave me life again. And Lord, I want that life that you have to give. I want to drink of that water that I'll never thirst again. Lord, come into my heart. Make me one with you. And help me to be all that you have called me to be. If you've prayed this prayer and you have forgiveness in your heart, we feel that you have asked the Lord to come in to save you. And you are saved. Please get to a deliverance church, one that preaches the word of God, one that teaches the word of God, that you might grow thereby. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Father God, we thank you for what our ears have heard and what our hearts have received. We thank you for this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We pray, God, that that your word has not gone out void, that the hearts that shall receive it, that heard it, God, and that the changes and the transformation will take place. God, we call it done. We speak it. You gave us life and death is in the power of the tongue, and we speak life over everyone that has heard this word today, God, and we just thank you for the transformation, that the change shall come forth. And thank you for the renewing of the mind and new strength. Thank you for fortifying us for the new adventure that you have before us as we walk in who we are, because we are King's kids. And God, we pray for those, and we thank you for those that have just come into the kingdom to accept you as Lord and Savior. God, bless us on this week. Keep us ever so close to you. In the name of Jesus, let you be the center of our hearts. Till we meet again, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
God bless you all.
God bless you all.
Amen.